Let us pray. O God of the cosmos, O God who speaks to us in the silence of our hearts, we rejoice that we are together as a community, that you are present with us. And as we hear your word proclaimed, may hearts be opened, may minds be engaged, may spirits be lifted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I have to say that I'm really quite excited about this sermon series. The questions you asked through that survey were really interesting that you want me to address. And really, some of them are quite challenging. So it's going to be a lot of fun for me to answer your questions. And I think this is a wonderful conversation for us to be having. So before we move into this week, I just wanted to reflect for a moment. There we go. Just wanted to reflect for a moment on last Sunday when we talked about the parable of the vineyard workers. And this was a story about people who had precarious lives with precarious labor. And we were talking about precarious labor today in today's world. Well, Saturday Star, I opened up, and here's the headline: little training, few rights, no promises. This is the new reality for a growing number of temporary employees. And I went undercover as a temp agency worker. And it's an appalling story. It's an appalling story. The conditions in which they exist and work, a 5-minute drive from here at the 400 and the 401, are positively Dickensian. And this woman was paid in cash, and not even full cash or with any CPP or anything of that taken away. It wasn't even paid by the company. It was paid by a third-party cash outlet store. And with 5 minutes training, and this is a factory where a woman died last year. 5 minutes from here. 5 minutes from here. How is this all right? How is this okay? How did we get to this point where people are living in this sort of situation? How did it get here? And how do we fix this? This is Canada. This is not acceptable for us as a society, for people to live what this woman has gone through and what people are going through right now as we're speaking. And I urge you to read this article. It's really important. And remember how those stories of Jesus fall right back to the parable of the vineyard workers, link us right to today. And it's a straight line. It's an absolute straight line. And we say, gee, how does that fit in our world? Well, the Bible and this, straight line, same experiences. So a question that I've been asked to address today is, does God exist and does it matter? Now, I know that every single person here is going to be really surprised, totally shocked to learn that I do indeed believe in the existence of God. I know you've been on the edge of your seats wondering where I would be on that. I do understand. But perhaps not for the reasons that you may think. And yes, I believe in the existence of God. And yes, I want to suggest that it does matter. But again, not necessarily for the reasons you may think. So let's start with a question. This is a question that I've asked before, and we've had conversation about, but I want to ask it again. And the question is, what is the story around which your life is built? What is the story around which your life is built? The way you live your life, who you are, what's that story? Because we all have a story. And why is having that story so vital? And before we look at the question of God and these passages, I want to talk about the importance of story. So just yesterday, I found this article was posted up on Facebook by George Monbiot in the Guardian newspaper. And I love George Monbiot's writing. And he talks about the important story. And this is what he has talked about. What he says basically is that story defines us. We are creatures of story. And we need story to define who we are. And this is what he writes. Stories are the means by which we navigate the world. We all possess a narrative instinct, an innate disposition to listen for an account of who we are and where we stand. When we encounter a complex issue and try to understand it, what we look for is not consistent and reliable facts, but a consistent and comprehensible story. A string of facts, however well attested, will not correct or dislodge a powerful story. The only response it is likely to provoke is indignation. People often angrily deny facts that clash with the narrative truth established in their minds. The only thing that can displace a story is a story. Those who tell the stories run the world. Though I love that line, those who tell the stories run the world. And I think it's absolutely true. We look for a story. We fit ourselves in a story. And the people whose dominant narrative is the narrative of the world, they're in charge because their story has won. And he goes on and he talks about how politically we've had sort of two narratives. He calls them restoration stories. A Keynesian post-World War II, post-depression story, and a neoliberal story. And he said they're framed the same in terms of liberation and freedom. He says, but the neoliberal story that has continued, the reason it's still going on is because there isn't been another story to displace it. And he argues that what is done in terms of disparity in our world that is growing and growing, he says we need a new story. He says we need a new story. He said we are hardwired to be cooperative. All through history, what makes us different is our capacity to be cooperative, to work together, to have empathy. He says that's the story our world needs right now. And I can't agree. I mean, I just completely agree. Empathy, cooperation is the heart of what we are as human beings. And I love this title of that article. It's called, How Do We Get Out of This Mess? Because we know we're in a mess. So I want us to park that up there. So we've got George Monbiot up here. And now I want us to go over to another article from The Atlantic by Peter Beinhart called The Politics of Belonging, Breaking Faith. And he talks about the emptying of churches and what has happened when churches have emptied and people have lost faith. He said secularism was supposed to provide, you know, we were going to no longer argue about moral issues, that there would be a sort of a new renaissance if people were sort of freed from religion. And he says that's not what happened. What's happened is politics has gotten more vicious. Politics is more, you're more likely simply to stay within your own group, to communicate with those people who reinforce your own preconceptions. He says people that go to church meet people who disagree with them. They go to church and they're part of a community that talks about love and compassion and forgiveness. And you take that love and compassion and forgiveness out into the world. And when you take that out, when the world walks away from that and you don't have those messages of love and compassion and forgiveness all the time, then it goes out of the politics as well. And it infects the whole society. And he says, that's what you're seeing in the United States. He says, you've got people who want to save institutions and those who want to blow them up. Because we've lost a story. We've lost a story. So let's go back now to the stories of Genesis and the story of Moses experiencing God in the burning bush. So what do they have to do? Why are they important? Well, I think that these two passages are incredibly important. They're just so important because they're the foundations of a story. It's a story about God. And ultimately, it's a story about love. The Genesis passage is about creation. God loves creating. God loves creation. God creates and creates and creates and creates. God can't help but create. And belief in God, faith and understanding of God, makes us partners in creation with God. And so we share responsibility for this creation. And so as a church, we stand with those who heal creation from the existential threats that we are facing. we know what's happening in the Caribbean and in Florida, and it happened in Houston. We're in a time of climate chaos. We see it all the time. I've asked people, so how was your summer? What did I hear? Wet. Right? It was wet. It was wet. Why? Because we're having patterns of change in our weather, and this was easy for us. Imagine right now what it's like to be in Houston. Can I get those pictures up, please, of the of Houston that we've done? That's the latest hurricane that is charging through, the strongest storm in history. That's the future face. This isn't people fleeing Syria. This is people fleeing weather. This is a woman fleeing weather. Next slide, please. And that's the before and after picture in Houston of their freeway system. Imagine the Don Valley Parkway like that. You know, we're seeing fires and floods across the globe. And I heard a climatologist saying this week, he said, nature is angry. And to believe in God is to believe in the beauty of creation, to share the stewardship of it, and to embrace a way of life and being to heal that which we see is broken now, and to say we have to do better. And then we slide from creation back into the burning bush. And so, of course, we all say, well, ha, 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 burning bush. You can't have a burning bush. Who cares? I don't care. It's not the point. I don't want to get in discussion on the possibility of bushes bursting into flames on a mountain in the Middle East. That's not the point. It's not important. The point and what's important is the God who is this creator of this beautiful world that we have has a love so strong that God also hears the cries of God's people. God hears the cries of the people, not only of the Hebrew people in the Bible 5,000 years ago, but God hears the cries today. God hears our cries. God hears your cries. God hears the cries of the people working in this factory. God is hearing that. And when God hears the cries, God invites us into partnership to do the great work of challenging the great injustices that are in our society. The story of Exodus is that God does not act alone in freeing the people, but God needs us in partnership to work together with God. And what ties both of these stories together is love, is the love that God has for creation, the love that God has for people. Belief in God should not be passive, but active. Belief means a way of living. It brings us to community and collective action. It's about healing the world collectively as a community and bridging differences, creating and experiencing empathy. There is absolutely no universal definition or understanding of God. We could be here a month in small groups talking about how we understand God or don't, or believe in God or don't, and we would never come up with a common understanding. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can't prove the existence of God to anyone in this room. I simply can't. Can't prove it any more than I can prove love. But let me give you an analogy I'm working with. And that is about the effects of God. Can I get the next picture, please? So I'm trying something different right now. This is sourdough starter. I am trying to make sourdough bread. This is one of my things this fall. So sourdough starter is water and flour and yeast, but not the yeast from the packet. Wild yeast that's in the air. Think about this. Wild yeast is in the air. Now, I can't see the wild yeast. I can't touch the wild yeast. I can't taste the wild yeast. But I look at those bubbles, and that's from the wild yeast that is floating around in my house in the kitchen. I can't taste it, can't feel it, but I experience it. I see the effects of it. Of this invisible substance, I find it weird that there's wild yeast in the air, but it's there. Take a look at that picture. There it is, bubbling away. That's the effect of this which I cannot see, touch, or taste. Equally, in this church, we experience the effect of God. The experience of the effect of God. When Osama comes up and speaks about the experience of as a newcomer to Canada because of our work, that's the effect of God. That's the love of God. That's the effect. When our young people, like Malcolm, go on a canoe trip on reconciliation, that's the effect of God. And when I'm in here on Tuesday watching Sue and Rob and Carol and the walk-in support and 54 people coming for help, that's the effect of God. The effect of God on this church is having an impact on this community and this city. It is showing the love of God in action. No matter the spectrum of belief, the effects are undeniable to me. The challenge we face is that this has been our story. But the challenge we have is that the story that the United Church of Canada has about God has lost resonance for much of our culture, as it has across many denominations across the Western world. It's lost that resonance. But over these next months, we're going to engage together in a conversation that will not so much tell our story, but also ask the questions, what could that new story be? What can that new story look like that is both ancient and speaking to the world that we in which we live? Those who tell the stories rule the world. We don't want to rule the world, but there is still a story well worth telling. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.